It's that time of year, so unpack your baubles, pin up your stockings and grab the wrapping paper because Christmas has come early for any team playing Reading FC. Yes, welcome to episode 240 of the Tarnhurst End podcast with your host Mark Mann, where I'm really sorry to say we've got 2-3-0 defeats to discuss for a team that are nonetheless the league leaders of the championship. And to do that with me this evening, Ollie Allen joins me. How's it going, mate?
Yeah, I'm very well, thanks, Mark. I'm very glad that it's the international break, but good nonetheless.
Yeah, well, we've got a couple of things going on over the international break. So keep your eyes peeled on the Tarlest, and obviously no podcast next week for myself, as it were, but we do have a couple of interviews with former players going up in the next couple of weeks, so keep a good eye on that. Hopefully something you'll be very interested to hear. And also, as always, a big thank you to ZCZ Films for sponsoring the podcast and for those Patreon subscribers out there who just give us a little pat on the back every now and again to make ourselves, you know, just really hammer home that it's not a fantasy project. It's not a CV sort of skill. It's just genuinely something for the fans out there. And sadly, it was not a great week for Reading FC. So let's jump into that now and talk about two defeats in the past week.
Come rain or shine, it's time to relive the latest match action with the recap.
This podcast is sponsored by ZCZ Films, Reading's oldest ultras.
Right, let's do Preston first then, Ollie. 3-0 defeat. It was going, well, not actually too bad, to be honest. First half of the game, pretty eventless, you'd have to say. Reading just doing generally okay, but I suppose we'll get on to the kind of defence in a little bit. But the first thing that I thought for this game particularly was take your chances. We had a couple ones. I think Jow was through 1-1 in the second half. We also had in the first half Lucas Jow with a header saved, Sonny Aluko with a point blank shot saved. Reading generally played pretty well, but they found themselves a goal down and they couldn't recover from it.
Yeah, it was pretty much sort of the opposite of what we've seen before so far this season. You know, Reading sort of became characterised before the Coventry game, sort of scoring with our first shot. You know, we scored within 9 seconds against Blackburn, you know, against Wickham. I'm pretty sure Lucas Jow's goal was our first shot of the game. And, you know, it was that clinical nature that, you know, I praised in this podcast, and I know a lot of fans had praised that. And it was what put that those XG numbers up, that we were so clinical, that we were scoring from, you know, the majority of our shots. And you know, I suppose this is almost what those who do like XG sort of meant by the fact that it's not sustainable. You know, and in truth, it's not when you are sort of scoring from most of your chances. But yeah, you know, it was the opposite of what we've seen so far. And ultimately, you know, Reading have been so good this season. Sort of that early season success was built on the fact that, you know, we could score, you know, relatively early on. We could take our chances and then you know, defend very, very well. And as it happened, you know, we couldn't take our chances and defended very poorly. You know, I'm sure we'll get onto the mistakes, but, you know, even before we conceded, you know, we had a penalty against us, a really bad tackle from Tom McIntyre, as we said. And Raphael bails us out, but it was more of a poor penalty from Johnson. But after that, you know, lessons not learned and just very, very bad defending again. And yeah, ultimately 3-0, it probably did flatter Preston a bit. But, you know, based on the second half, you know, I don't think Reading could have that many complaints about losing the game.
No, and this is the thing, isn't it? And we've spoken in previous weeks, we've been, you know, the knowledge has always been that it's not going to last forever and that there will be a moment where we'll be tested, and it is about how you bounce back from that. And we've witnessed in the last week, kind of on a micro and a macro level, how Reading are bouncing back from these things. So in the Coventry game, I think particularly after Coventry went 2-1 up, I really felt like Reading didn't play very well. I felt we were the same after Preston went 1-0 up, after Stoke went 1-0 up. There is that immediate lull in the performance after Reading have gone a goal down. And I mean, for the Preston goal in particular, there was kind of talk that it was offside. I really can't see it myself, to be brutally honest. I don't know if you disagree with me, Ollie, but from that moment on, there wasn't the sort of fluidity that we had before.
No, I agree. It's not particularly clear, but yeah, look, either way, you know, we've spoken so often in the last couple of years, it's been a real problem for Reading recently, that, you know, when they go a goal down, that they just really can't recover. You know, I think I said on the podcast after, I'm not sure what win it was, but, you know, we hadn't trailed in a game before the Coventry game. And I said, you know, the real test for this side is how they react to going a goal down. Because, as I say, over the last few years, you know, I can think of, you know, a handful of times, really, if that, of times that Reading have conceded the first goal and gone on to get, you know, a win, you know, let alone a point. So, yeah, that's something that's got to be fixed. You know, it, definitely confidence takes a hit, whether that is an issue, whether it's a mentality thing. You know, Panovic has spoken so much earlier in the season about, you know, creating that fantastic team spirit, creating that togetherness. You know, and that now is sort of where it comes to the fore. You know, how do Reading react to not only, you know, going a goal down? You know, we said that after the Coventry game, but now, you know, losing three games on the bounce and the last two at home 3-0. As I say, I think the international break comes at the right time. It's a chance for them to regroup, to refocus, but the reaction is massive now, because, you know, it's pretty much sink or swim, really, because do they go the way of Reading side the last couple of years where they get into a bit of a rut and they just can't get themselves out of it? Or do they turn things around and show that they are mentally strong? Because, as I say, that's what Panovic has spoken about it a lot, but this is the real litmus test for them now. You know, how can they bounce back from defeats? Because, you know, so far they've not bounced back from conceding goals very well.
Yeah, that's the thing, isn't it? It is about going and having this 2-week break. Is it changes it, because when you go from, you know, to three games in a week, basically you do kind of get a bit of momentum either way, and you can kind of highlight that and block it off and say that's a particular run of games. But the Bournemouth game now is 2 weeks away. We're going to have, in theory, a lot of first team players back. Yeah, the Yeardom came back for the Stoke game. Ovi Ajari, Akumete and Liam Moore all hopefully should be back for Bournemouth. John Swift a little while further back. So that changes the sort of, you know, the excuses start to drift away, or will hopefully be drifting away by that point. But the excuses really for, I mean, both of these games, it's difficult, Ollie. I really couldn't work it out whether this is defensive inexperience that's costing us. You think of the Tom McIntyre, I think he kind of slips with that penalty foul, but it's inexperience. He also completely misjudges the flight of the ball for 2-0 in the Preston game. Move forward to the Stoke game and Estevez's clearance and his kind of reaction to the clearance of first goal is obviously terrible. Raphael, having given a goal away against Coventry, then gives the ball away against Stoke for 2-0. But then Andy Yeardham, you know, Raphael's not an inexperienced player. Andy Yeardham also lost the ball at 2-0 and Tyrese Campbell hit the post. So it's kind of hard to nail down one particular reason why all these mistakes have come out. Where have they come from?
Yeah, it's baffling, really, isn't it? I think, you know, we spoke so much in those first few games of the season about how much of the success was built on that rock solid defence. You know, you have to ask questions, I suppose, and how important Liam Moore is to this side, because, you know, since he's been injured, you know, we've made these mistakes. But yeah, it's you know, remarkable, really, about how the defence has regressed, you know, so badly in such a short space of time. As you say, you know, pretty much, you know, think of the 9 goals we conceded combined against Coventry, Preston and Stoke. And I was looking at them early, and you look at them, really, about, you might say about 7 or so were preventable, because, you know, Raphael has made a couple of sort of uncharacteristic errors. You know, you mentioned Tom McIntyre, you know, he'll know he had a poor game against Preston. You know, he'll know as much as anybody, he had a poor game. Yeah, Lewis Gibson and especially against Stoke. So, you know, what I would say is that, you know, it's probably that they are fixable. You know, it's not as if Reading played absolutely terribly in any of the 3-0 defeats. You know, I think Stoke's first 3 goals were pretty much their only 3 shots. So it's not as if, you know, we were completely played off the park against Stoke, and certainly that was the case against Preston. You know, I think we played worse in games and won this season. So it's not as if we're playing terribly. It is more those errors. And I suppose those errors, hopefully, are easier to cut out than sort of drastically changing the style of play. And I imagine that's what Panovic will speak about with the players during this break, is that it's just a case of cutting out these errors, because, you know, you take away those errors, you know, all 3 goals really against Stoke were defensive errors. Estevez's header, Raphael's poor clearance, and then Lewis Gibson right at the end. You know, take out those 3 errors and it's 0-0. You know, Reading might even nick a goal at the other end. So they didn't play terribly, terribly bad. It is just those errors. So if we can cut those out, that's probably easier said than done. But if we can, then I'm not too worried.
Well, logic would dictate that it won't last forever. You don't make a short... No team ever makes defensive errors all every week of the season for the entire season. So hopefully that is something that we can get a lid on. And I the only thing that I would say on top of that is that it does feel to me like the scoreboard pressure of maybe taking your chance to go 1-0 up, particularly in that Preston game, changes the game so much and reduces the amount of, you know, space that opposition players might have in our half, and therefore maybe you sort of solve it that way. Let's talk tactics quickly then, because Stoke, we kind of played a 3-5-2 with George Puskas and Lucas Shaw up front. Thomas Esther as a sort of right wing back with Andy Yeardon was the right centre back. I kind of feel if Mate and Ajari are back that we won't see this again. But did you think that it was a reasonable scenario? How did it sort of play out for you?
Yeah, I mean, I could see sort of Panovic just thinking behind it, you know, trying to be a bit more solid. You know, we saw what happened on Wednesday against Preston, so sort of tried to go three at the back. I don't really think Yeardon's a centre back. He didn't do terribly, but I think probably sort of it didn't help that he's not 100% fit. I think if Reading were in a slightly better position form wise, then Panovic might have rested Yeardon for the break. I mean, as it happens, he's going away with Garner, which is probably the worst possible thing for him based on his injury record. But yeah, no, he was played in there. I don't think he played terribly, but yeah, I think, you know, sort of Puskas and Zhao were both sort of quite isolated up front, and that's not something we often say about Lucas Zhao. You know, he was involved in the game to an extent, but I think he barely had a touch in Stoke's box. So, you know, Stoke, you know, sat deep, and I think Sam Baldock spoke about it after the game, that it was almost a compliment to Reading that Stoke changed their game to suit Reading, and sort of Reading did struggle with that. You know, I was looking at stats earlier, and we had 70% possession, which is a remarkable number, really, considering that we lost 3-0. But I think, you know, we spoke a few weeks ago about whether Reading are better in or out of possession. I think it's very, very clear now that, you know, Panovic does prefer the counter-attack, and teams know that, you know, they can play Reading now. So if they sit back, allow Reading to have the ball, then Reading will find it quite hard to break them down. And it is difficult because, you know, when you are top of the league, you're obviously going to be a target for teams, and teams will try harder than they might do normally to try and beat you. So Reading are going to have to cope with that pressure and that expectation. And it's something for Panovic to think about as well, because he is going to have a plan B, a plan C. You know, he can't play the same way every week because teams will start to figure Reading out.
Well, it was the Rotherham game a few weeks ago in which Reading only had about 35% of the possession, but 1-3-0, so it does kind of prove itself in the stats in that sense. And the other thing that as hopefully isn't really going to be a specific problem moving forward if Liam Moore returns, but as we saw Tom McIntyre played against Preston, Lewis Gibson played against Stoke, I thought by and large Lewis Gibson had an okay game until obviously the end. He did miss a good chance at the, I think it when it was 2-0, but don't play centre-back. You don't employ centre-backs to score goals, and you just kind of didn't catch the flight of the ball. So I wouldn't hold that too much against him. But I'm wondering whether you would say as to which one is more useful to go forward with. And this is the same sort of problem I have with Thomas Estevez at the right-back, and that by and large he's been fine. I don't have any, you know, I'm not saying it's a bad signing or anything like that, but when you have a young loanee, it's, you can play them through into form, and you can, you know, on the basis they've got good potential, they're going to get better and everything. But if you have those mistakes, that's the problem with having a loan player, because unless you get those rewards quickly, then what's the point in having a loan player? Because they're not yours. They'll just go back to Everton or whatever and be good. But if they're bad for you, then that's not a good deal, is it?
Yeah, it's so tough, isn't it? I think firstly, I just want to wish Lewis Gibson well, because I've never seen anyone clatter into a post quite as badly as Lewis Gibson did when he was trying to get back to try and block that shot.
You can't fault his commitment, can you? To clear it off the line.
You can't fault it, but it looked absolutely painful. He went into to the post at some speed. But yeah, it's so tough. You know, Lewis Gibson and Thomas Estevez are clearly very highly rated players. You know, Gibson, you know, thought of very highly at Everton, you know, as part of that under-17 or under 20, one of the two England teams that won the World Cup a few years ago. Estevez, you know, touted by Barcelona and Man City. You know, a lot of Porto fans, you know, thought he might have been their first choice right back this season. It was definitely seen as a coup for Reading to get him, but they are at the heart of it, you know, inexperienced players. You know, Lewis Gibson hasn't played above League One level. You know, he barely played about 10 games for Fleetwood last season before their season was called off. So it is so tough. And, you know, it's the same with Tom McIntyre as well. You know, still incredibly young. I think he about 10 starts, I think, before Saturday in the Championship, which really isn't that many at all. You know, he himself hasn't had a loan spell. You know, there was talk about it in the summer and sort of nothing materialised, but, you know, he's not had that much experience, and it's tough as a young defender. You know, when you're a young striker coming through, you know, you might miss a good chance in front of goal and sort of nothing really comes of it. But if you're a young defender and you make a mistake, then, you know, they're more often than not, you're going to be punished by conceding a goal. So it's really tough, you know, when you've been in such good form with sort of a fantastic partnership of Michael Morrison and Liam Moore. And then when one of them drops out and you bring in someone far less experienced in, it's really difficult. And Reading are, you know, we were having this conversation in our editorial group chat last week, I think it was, that Reading are well stocked in centre back. They've got Lewis Gibson, Tom McIntyre, Tom Holmes as well, but not necessarily well equipped, because these players, as I say, are very inexperienced. But then at the same time, they need to gain that experience in the Championship. I'm sure Lewis Gibson will be a better player for the mistakes that he made at the weekend. And likewise, Tom McIntyre will learn an awful lot from that Preston game. You know, he had a torrid time, bless him. But he will learn from that experience, and hopefully it does make him a better player.
Yeah, and that's the thing, isn't it? I was actually thinking during the Stoke game, as it kind of was drifting away, I was thinking that the inexperience in this team is pretty widespread. Omar Richards at left back hasn't, I don't think he's played 100 Championship games. I'd be surprised if Rinomota has. Josh Lomond, probably about the same amount. Even, you know, Michael Olise, again, Ovie Ejaria, not massively experienced players. George Puskas has only played about 40 games at this level, really. So it is a difficult situation you find yourself in. And I suppose that's why we've seen players like Sonny Aluko and Sam Baldock remain at the club to an extent, because obviously, you know, it's difficult to get rid of them for wages and everything, but also remain at the club because they are valuable. It was one of the only few, you know, probably say about there's only five or six players in that squad that have genuine experience. So that's something that Veljko Paunović is going to have to consider over the international break, and to how much he's going to create a balance between the sort of youth and the experience in his squad. We'll hear from him now and his thoughts after the Stoke game, and then we'll jump into the mailbag and talk about, well, the first couple of them, what the heck is going on. So let's consider that now.
It was a very similar game to the one that we had earlier against Preston. So we believe that we still have to improve and learn from our mistakes. That cannot happen. We cannot lose the game that we control, that we have more opportunities, and we are on every side of the stats. We were a better team, except what matters most, right? We understand that. There is no doubt that we count goals also. But I think there was improvement in our game so far, and as soon as our game evolved to being more offensive team, we started to concede goals, something to learn from it and something to fix as soon as possible. I also think that the opponent did a good job. They also played their game plan very well, and they were consistent with what they were doing and took advantage of our mistakes. But we will fix it. We know that we did a good job at the beginning of the season. The homework is done. Now we have to do the other part. We always said that this is a marathon and it's going to take a long time. We never said that it's going to be easy. We always said that we have to keep our feet on the ground. Same now. And when we lose, we're not going to go to drown so we will take advantage of this break. We will learn from what we saw so far from our team, and we have to improve and get back on the where we were before the season started.
Send in your views to thetarnhurstend@gmail.com and have your say in the mailbag.
As I said, Sam asks in the mailbag, just what's going on, lads? What is going on? Arthur adding, what the heck is happening? And DW saying, are we safe yet? I mean, are we safe in terms of relegation? That's not a conversation I'm willing to have today. Thank you for everyone who gets in touch on the mailbag. thetarnhurstend@gmail.com for the email, and also on Twitter and Facebook. Louis asking, are we returning to the mean, or are we suffering from fatigue and the lack of first team players / injuries? Ollie, I must say that the injuries are really, I think that a lot of teams are suffering from this at the moment. There's talk of, you know, the five subs rule not being around. Obviously, the disrupted pre-season, longer for certain teams, really short for other teams, having a big effect. Just the general uncertainty and the lack of naturalness that there is to football at the moment, as well as obviously the world around us. It is taking its toll in injuries. And Reading, I suppose, with Ijaria and Swift and Mate being out, you take away the three men that would be behind Lucas Shaw on a normal afternoon, and with Liam Moore out, it can't be understated, in my opinion, just how important those players are.
No, yeah, I completely agree. Yeah, it is difficult because, you know, every team is suffering with the same problem. You know, every team is playing, you know, a lot of games in such a short space of time. And I know Preston fans pointed out after we lost 3-0 to them that they had a lot of key players out. So it's an easy excuse to make. And I think it is a valid excuse to make because, as you say, you know, those are pretty much as four key players as you can get for Reading. And a lot of Reading's play goes through, you know, Ijaria, Mate, Swift, and you know, we've seen, as we talked about already, you know, the importance clearly of Liam Moore at the back. So yeah, it's tough. You know, hopefully, as I say, that this break comes at just the right time, and we can get Ijaria and Mate back. As you say, Swift is probably going to be a bit longer, but it's difficult. You know, and it is still early days. You know, we're still only 11 games into the season. You know, it's still, you know, too early to make any sort of judgment on promotion or anything like that. So I'd give it until Christmas and then we'll have to see. But, you know, it's clear that the last week has been very, very poor. But, you know, I said it at the weekend that it's all about perspective. You know, Reading are still top of the league and, you know, are for the next 2 weeks and, you know, a point clear. So, and to say that at the start of the season, you know, before a ball had been kicked, you know, after everything that happened in the last 2 weeks leading up to the season, you know, no one would have thought we'd have been in this position where we are today. So we'll have to wait and see. You know, I think we were sort of enjoying the ride for those sort of first 7-8 games, and it started to crash a little bit. You know, it wasn't sustainable. Clearly, you know, no team is ever going to go through a whole championship season unbeaten or even, you know, get over 100 points. So we'll have to wait and see. But I think the break has definitely come at just the right time.
And that's the thing as well, looking at the table now, I mean, Reading obviously 1 point clear of second and third. They're 4 points clear of seventh. But I'd say probably the more important gap at the moment is that we're 5 points clear of 10th. And that's because if we were 10th, you know, from the kickoff on day one, if you had said that the 11 games in would be 10th, I think 99% of Reading fans would be happy with that. So we're 5 points clear of something that we would have been happy with. So, yeah, you're absolutely right to point out that being top of the league is such a boost, and it is such a nice thing to have at the moment. Will Hasler saying, confidence is such a crucial commodity in any team. What can management do to address the recent slump, especially with the youngsters and so many loanees? Are we lacking a leader out there at the moment, as we appear to have done in recent years? Well, at the conversation we've just had, it immediately makes me think of obviously Liam Moore not being out there. Liam Moore was a player, however, Ollie, who we criticised a lot last year when we said, even when he was out there, that we were lacking leaders. So I suppose it doesn't feel like, for me, that it's lacking leadership for these, you know, for this particular week that we've just had. It is just that kind of build-up of individual errors and not taking chances. And it's almost more basic than that in a way, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's testament to Liam Moore about how crucial he clearly is to this side. And as you say, he lost his place in the side towards the back end of last season, and you know, we were sort of saying if he's sold in the summer, then that's perhaps the best thing for Reading and for Liam Moore. But you know, to be fair to him, he's responded fantastically to the managerial change. You know, there were rumours, I stress they are rumours, that you know, he sort of didn't get on particularly well with Mark Bowen, but he has clearly responded very well to Verko Panovic. And yeah, look, you know, we spoke about sort of the lack of experience in that side. And, you know, you mentioned Sam Baldock, and you know, I don't think it is a coincidence that Panovic has brought Baldock back into the frame the last couple of games since he's returned from injury. I even think Yaku Mate is sort of crucial for that because, you know, yes, he's, what, 24, 25, but in terms of experience, you know, he is probably one of the more experienced players in that Reading side now. And, you know, you look at sort of the insight we get on social media, and he seems like a key part of that dressing room, sort of morale wise. You know, a very, very lively character, and certainly with him missing, you know, that changing room will miss that spark. So it's so tough. And as I say, you know, get those players back after the break and see where we are. You know, if we are still losing games with Liam Moore on the side, with Mate and Ijaria back, then you have to look at it again. But I would reserve judgment on what is quite going wrong until those three players are back.
Yeah, you've actually preempted Kev there, who's tweeted in saying is Mate our most important player in terms of what he brings individually and how he makes the preferred system work. And this is an interesting point in the sense that if you consider the players that are the most unique in the squad, probably say Ajari is probably the most unique player that Reading have in terms of his dribbling ability and what he delivers. But Yaku Mate is, he is the only player who can play out wide as a target man effectively. And also the other thing I'd have to say about Mate is, but perhaps this is the reason why I'm slightly reserved in how, you know, good I would generally say he's been over the last few years, but his goal scoring record speaks for itself. And whenever I, you know, following a game or anything, or at a game and Reading aren't playing particularly well, and yet we get a lead or something, so often it's him who pops up with the, you know, header from a corner or just from a counter-attack in the six-yard box with a semi, you know, pretty decent but pretty easy finish at the same time. He does just pop up with, you know, the crucial goal so often. And I suppose that is kind of one of the key things that we're missing as well. But as, you know, as Kev says, for the tactic sense as well, there is no one who plays on the wing in any kind of anything like the way that he does.
Yeah, I mean, he makes things happen, simply. You know, he's an exciting player to watch. You know, he can be a bit inconsistent, but, you know, but he always puts in 100% for the team, and he does make things happen. You know, you look at the side of the weekend, you know, Aluko's improved this season. I think he's been all right, but he doesn't create anywhere near as much as Mate does. Alpha Semedo isn't an attacking-minded player for me. I think he's a decent player, but I don't think he can play that number 10 role very well. And yeah, you know, Mate is crucial. You mentioned his goal-scoring record, and, you know, to be our top scorer for the last 2 years without necessarily always playing up front is testament to how hard he works. And as I say, you know, off the pitch too, he's massive for that dressing room. You know, he creates a real buzz around the place. You know, he's got a fantastic smile, and he always seems very, very happy. And I think, you know, when you're playing alongside that player, not just because of his ability, but just because of his manner and the way he holds himself, he seems a fantastic, you know, force for that dressing room. So you have to say, sort of based off the last week where we've not had him, you know, they clearly miss him when he's not there.
Yeah, absolutely. And last couple of questions then from Laura Royal, who asks, what does good look like in the period between now and Christmas? And Extra Reading, who said, do you think we are a good team on an average or an average team that have had a good run? Well, I think good between now and Christmas really is, you know, it's kind of self-explanatory, really just kind of staying in amongst the pack, because I certainly don't think any of these teams are going to break away and form, you know, I can't, even Watford, Norwich, Bournemouth, who are on the track of back of us, who I actually did say in my three teams that I thought were going to get promoted at the start of the year was the relegated teams, who were, you know, Premier League teams just have so much more quality these days, particularly with the parachute payments and everything, they can sustain that. So I'd imagine that good between now and Christmas is just being in amongst it. And this is the answer to the other question as well, saying, do you think we're a good team? I mean, Ollie, if you're going to talk about, if you were to rate every team out of 100 in the Premier League, you would go from like 97 all the way down to like 78, let's say. If you were to rate every team in the Championship, I'd wager that about 16 to 20 of those teams are going to be between like 72 and 77 or 68 and 77. There's so little to choose between those teams. And I'd have to say that I would position Reading in amongst that general rabble of just being a good Championship team.
Yeah, I mean, one of the charms of the Championship is that, you know, anyone really can beat anyone. You know, I know it's a cliche, but, you know, you see Sheffield Wednesday beating Bournemouth the other week, and Wednesday haven't had the best start to the season. You know, Watford seem to be, you know, going pretty well, drew with Wickham and gave Wickham their first points of the season. You know, so no team, you know, is above and beyond the rest of them. And you know, certainly, you know, Reading haven't had the best week, and the last three games have been disappointing. But, you know, do you make your call on Reading based on the last three games or based off the first eight games? Because, you know, it's two very different Readings that we've seen so far this season. So, yeah, as I say, I think it's still too early to call. You know, you say look at the table after 10 games and, you know, we're 11 games in now and Reading are top. But I think, you know, make the judgment after the next 2 months. You know, you look at the Reading side that went up in 11-12. You know, we were right down the bottom of the table this stage and didn't look like top contenders until sort of into the new year. So anything can and probably will happen for the rest of the season. And I agree with you. I think as long as Reading can stay sort of in and around that top six, and you know, as long as you're sort of, you know, 5 points off it come the final 10 games of the season, you know, you can go on a good run and anything can happen. So there's always sort of a late dark horse getting into that top six. So as long as Reading are in that mix, then anything can happen, I think.
Yeah, and the good thing is we know Reading can do it. They have proven that they can win games against pretty much any team at this level. And I suppose if you look between now and Christmas, it's always a tough run of games in the Championship. But Bournemouth, Millwall away, Bristol City at home, Nottingham Forest at home in December. I have no idea how good they're going to be under Chris Hughton, and they could really pick up. You've got Norwich at home on the 16th, then Brentford away, then you know Swansea away in later in December. It just keeps coming and coming and coming. And that is what Reading were really good at the start of the season. And then, as you say, have turned into a really bad team at dealing with that. But we will find out. And I don't think, as ever with these sort of things, the answer lies somewhere in the middle. It would be very strange if Reading picked up and suddenly won all the games again. It would also be very strange if we dropped completely out of the top six and just waved goodbye to promotion. So time will tell. But, you know, as I say, it's the Championship. It's going to be a long old haul. And even between now and Christmas, it looks like a lot of difficult games that Reading are going to have to face. So we'll preview the next game in just a bit. But for now, we'll jump into News Bites and talk about what's been going on around Reading Football Club in the last 7 days.
Stay tuned for all the latest from around the Medeski Stadium and the Championship with News Bites.
Okay, so let's start with the women's team then. A 3-0 defeat to West Ham in the Conti Cup graced their return from the international action. And then they drew 1-1 with Tottenham in the Women's Super League on the weekend. Brooke Chaplin with the goal. So Reading sits sixth at the moment in the WSL. Fourth placed Everton are next for them. The under-23s are playing Palace about 20 minutes after we finish recording. So if you jump onto the probably the Reading FC Academy page, we'll have updates on that. But if not, we'll tell you what happened next week. Then they've got Boer on the 27th. The under-18s have West Ham on November 21st. So all internationals, as you can imagine, is the focus for the next couple of weeks. The only other real bit of club news I was going to bring you is that Lucas Schau is the Tala Sens Player of the Month. Ollie, I must say I'm not too surprised with this one, especially given how his lack of goals in the last week or so has been severely detrimental to the team. But Lucas Schau, I think he's just had a really solid month and proven to be the player that we kind of all hoped that we were signing last season.
Yeah, I was a bit surprised, I have to say, that he won it. Nothing against Lucas Schau, but you know, it was a particularly good month for the defence. And yeah, I think the other three nominees for the award were Liam Moore, Michael Morrison and Omar Richards. So I think I went for Liam Moore myself, just because the defence and Moore in particular, as we've seen over the last three games, you know, how crucial he is to decide. But yeah, you know, no real complaints for Lucas Schau. You know, four more goals for him last month. You know, and as you say, you know, really seeing what quality striker he is. You know, just got to hope now that he sort of stays fit for the rest of the season, first and foremost, and then does keep it up, because, you know, for me, I think I wrote a piece about it last week that he is as good as an all-round striker as you're going to get in a Championship. You know, he's 6'3", 6'4", but, you know, he's so much more than that traditional target man. You know, he's got, you know, a good level of pace. You know, he's got fantastic ability on the ball. You know, so many goals this season, you know, where he sort of collected the ball and sort of turned the defender with a nice bit of skill. You know, very rarely scores with his head or sort of one-touch finishes. So he's a fantastic all-round player. And as you say, you know, if he can keep it up, then who knows sort of where those goals can take us. And I think he's got 9 for the season now, and his record for a season in England is 10. So he's on course to beat that, and very well deserved for him.
No, it is the thing, isn't it? When a defender is, or the defence is doing so well, I find this when I'm doing the player ratings for Tala Sens as well. When you think that, okay, I'll give that centre-back a 7, but that centre-back a 6, you actually kind of think, well, it's so difficult to separate them because it is so integral as a partnership. And I suppose politics is a political analogy for this, politics now being popular again, is that if you're going to have a right-wing party, but there's only one of them, and then on the ballot, you've also got three left-wing parties. Everyone, it splits the vote, doesn't it? If everyone votes for their favourite defender, but if there's only one striker, if you like the attack that month, then you'll go for that one striker, I suppose. So I suppose that's perhaps why Lucas Schau has won. But as we say, it's been a really good month for him, and it's been a really good start to the season. But it's only the start of the season, so we'll have to see how that one goes. But it does certainly seem as if Lucas Schell is on target for his best season in English football, and that would be a really pleasing thing for Reading's transfer strategy as much as anything. So certainly something that we've kind of lambasted in the last few seasons. And there's certainly, as we go into big match preview now and Bournemouth away, there's certainly some element of transfer needle that might be introduced into this game. So let's talk about that now.
Be loud and be proud and back the boys and make some noise. Come on, you Oz!
Shout out to this week's podcast sponsor, ZCZ Films, showing that age is no barrier to being a hooly hoop.
So, Ollie, welcome to the Rodrigo Riquelme derby. Yes, he was once ours, but now he's a Bournemouth player. And it's probably the most niche, unexpected derby we might have this season. But it's fourth, hosting first, Reading luckily being the first place team as we go to this Saturday, November 21st, after the international break. And it is, once again, as is all the rage now, Reading being on TV. I think our next three Saturday kickoffs are actually all 12:30 and all on TV. So get used to the fact that the dramatic rise of Reading was behind closed doors, and now the dramatic fall is going to be witnessable for all to see.
Yeah, it does seem like a bit of a curse, doesn't it? This is going to be clearly a very difficult game. Once again, Bournemouth obviously having come down from the Premier League last season, will certainly have sort of their sights set on going straight back up. There were question marks, I suppose, over Jason Tindall and sort of what would happen to Bournemouth post Eddie Howe, but sort of that transition seems to have gone very, very well for them. Only lost one game so far this season, and clearly a very talented team. You look at their lineup against Birmingham. I pick out David Brooks particularly. I've seen a fair bit of Wales play being at Uni in Cardiff over the last couple of years. I've seen David Brooks play quite a lot, and I'd go as far as to say that he's one of the best players I've seen live. I really, really rate David Brooks, and I was very surprised to see him sold by Bournemouth, sort of any Premier League team pick him up in the summer. But you've got him, you've got Dominic Solanke, who I think a season at Championship level is doing in the world of good. They had Josh King on the bench as well, who was another one who was perhaps surprised not to leave Bournemouth in the summer. Jack Stacey is probably destined to score against us, as is Rodrigo Riquelme. So it's clearly going to be a very, very difficult game. It is all about how Reading can react and sort of how well Panovic does over the next 2 weeks, and sort of getting the group back together, refocusing them, reminding them that they are a good team, reminding them that they've got to this position through being very good in those first eight games, and that clearly there is something there that has been lost over the last three games, and they've got to try and find that again, because the season's not over by any means. Reading at the top of the league, and the last three games hopefully will prove just to be a blip, but it is almost as tough as it comes, I would say, against Bournemouth in 2 weeks' time.
Yeah, that's the thing, isn't it? It's a team that they almost show the importance of avoiding defeat on their own, because they've only won two of their last seven games, but they draw games, and that means they keep ticking along. They got into fourth. They're obviously not too far behind us. Interestingly, Reading haven't won at the Vitality Stadium since April 2001, when it certainly wasn't called the Vitality Stadium. They probably had less stands as well, didn't it, in reality? A certain Jermaine Defoe opening the scoring that day for Bournemouth before Martin Butler and Jamie Cureton. I think all those goals in the first 10 minutes as well, actually. And interestingly enough, as well, a certain Jason Tindall and Eddie Howe were both playing for Bournemouth that afternoon. So a bit of a blast from the past for when Reading recently, or most recently, won at Dean Court. So this is a difficult one when it comes to predict as well, isn't it, Ollie? Because not only are Bournemouth, they're not the sort of team that have steamrolled all the opposition they've played this year, despite all the array of talent that you've said there. And I agree, they are definitely in amongst it for the promotion racket. But Reading, again, it's so difficult to know the Reading team that's going to come up. So in terms of predictions, what are you going to say for this one?
Yeah, it is tough to predict. As I said, I think it's going to be a difficult game for Reading. Bournemouth, I think, have only conceded more than one goal. I'm looking at the results now, they've only conceded more than one goal in a game once this season, and that was all the way back on the opening day, and then even then they still won 3-2 because they've got the attacking quality to match. So yeah, it's going to be tough. As I say, we'll have to see if Reading can recover, based on the fact that hopefully Liam Moore, Yakumete and Ovie Ajayi will be back. yeah, it's tough. I don't want to be too doom and gloom about it, as I say, because those players are going to be back. But I'm also well aware that I think I'm bottom of the prediction league standings at the moment. So I'm not sure I predicted a defeat for us so far this season. So I might have to sadly go that way this time and go for a 2-1 defeat, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to go for a 2-1 victory myself, because I think that if we do have these players back, if we don't, I might quietly change this prediction, which certainly a couple of the other guys from the prediction league have been changing their predictions as the team sheet comes in this season. Not always to their success, might I add, but it is so integral of if those players are back, if there is a real mentality, if everyone pulls together and really races out the blocks. And I think it's probably worth mentioning as well that I'd imagine, and I've not 100% checked this, but I'd imagine Bournemouth are going to have more internationals in action in the next couple of weeks. And you mentioned that in the year to my earlier, Reading aren't going to have a huge amount of players leaving. Certainly players like, you know, Lucas Shaw, Liam Moore, etc., Michael Morrison, are not going to be doing that, whereas David Brooks is, imagine Josh King is. So that's going to be an interesting factor to consider. So if Reading can come out of the blocks, you can see him getting maybe one, maybe two goals early on, that'll, you know, change things. Obviously, that's a very optimistic way of looking at things. And just us mean, speaking of which, the prediction league, obviously we've lost three games in a row now, but it's the third game in which all of us have been wrong, because no one's predicted a defeat in that time. Westy said a couple draws. I said a Preston draw. You said a draw against Stoke, Ollie. So Handbags is still top of the prediction league. So it gives us a pretty clear indication that, yeah, it's probably, you know, it's going to be sod's law that eventually we'll all say defeat and then we'll probably win. So hopefully that's something that that will come to pass. And we will be back, as I say, a couple times during the international break, hopefully with a couple of player interviews to bring you some really good players, some really good teams that have been part of as well. So genuinely really fascinating stories that are already in the bank and are going to be released over the international break. And Ollie, thank you very much for coming on this evening.
Thank you very much. Yeah, knowing who we've got coming up, I'm very much looking forward to listening to those.
And we will be back with the regular show in a fortnight's time after that trip to Bournemouth. And, you know, just looking at the fixtures ahead, as we've gone from this mad period of playing three times a week, basically, to obviously having fortnight without a game, it will begin again. It does get just as mad and hectic after the international break. So we'll be back covering all of that on the website, on the social media, and on the podcast. Thank you very much for joining us this week. And we will see you in a fortnight when hopefully Reading will be back to winning ways and still top of the championship. Most important word there being still top of the championship. Until then, come on, you ass.
You smile.